It's great to have you guys here. You know, it's great to be here and just be able to worship our awesome God together. To be able to sing songs to Him, to be able to enjoy His favor. Our God is so patient with us. It's incredible. He helps us along the way. He shows us our strengths and make them stronger. He helps us with our weaknesses. And Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you and me will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He will see this work done. And I can't wait for that day. Go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 17 with me. Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 14. Says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, nothing will be impossible for you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, here we see this story of this father who is desperate for the healing of his son. We know that Jesus and James and John and Peter were up on the mountain while Jesus was being transfigured. So we got 9 disciples. And he sees them. He's like, I know these guys have healed before. So let me bring my son. And as soon as he sees Jesus, he runs up to him and said, have mercy on my son. Your disciples couldn't do it. Heal him. And after Jesus healed the boy, the disciples asked him, why couldn't we heal him? And Jesus gives them the answer about their faith, and he tells them that this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. That is the title for today's lesson, by prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting. How desperate are you to get the result from God that you want? We see desperation in this dad. Do you have the same desperation as him? How do you want God to change your heart? What do you want to see different in your life? The only way we are going to be like Jesus is by prayer and fasting. That is the only way. The task is beyond ourselves. Just as the task was beyond the 9 disciples to drive out the demon, they didn't have the power. We don't have the power to change our hearts. Prayer accompanied by fasting must become a part of our walk with God. Amen. It has to. The leadership of our church has been showing us areas in our life that we need to have deep convictions about. Last week, Steve Galbraith did a great lesson and helped us to see, man, there is a stark difference between what is worldly and what is spiritual. He pointed out the many different areas that we are worldly in our marriages, in our parenting, in our desires, in our materialism, in our relationships. He's pointed this out, and Steve did a great lesson this morning talking about our purity and our modesty. We ought to thank God for his work and the work of these great men. The only way that we're going to change these desires and change these things is by prayer and fasting. We cannot do it on our own. We've tried that long enough. The task is beyond you and me. We don't have the power. We must beg our God to change our hearts and change our lives. And this will be done by prayer and fasting. Fasting is a biblical response. It is an incredible tool that God has given you and me that most of us do not utilize. Most of us are missing this. When you utilize fasting, your life will change. It will be different. So the question is, what is fasting? For those who like the Hebrew and Greek, the Hebrew word is tsum. T-S-U-W-M. T-S-U-W-M. And the Greek word is nestuo. N-E-S-T-E-U-O. Nestuo. N-E-S-T-E-U-O. And these words are simply defined to abstain from food, to fast. So fasting strictly deals with food and liquids. You know, not watching TV or not going on Facebook is not fasting. That is not fasting. That's called abstaining, and probably stuff that you should do anyways. Fasting is not eating food for a set period of time or restricting what you eat like a Daniel fast, only vegetables. Not eating cake and ice cream is not fasting. That is called a diet, okay? If your goal is to lose weight and you're like, well, I'm trying to lose weight, so I might as well pray about some stuff. You're just on a diet. You are not fasting, okay? By saying these things are fasting, you're actually spreading false doctrine. And that's why so many people are like, yeah, man, I'm doing this world fast. You're like, what is a world fast? No news, no TV. You're like, okay, that's not a fast, all right? Fasting is strictly dealing with food and drink. So there's many ways that you can fast. You can fast where I will not eat and drink. Obviously, that will be limited to a couple of days. You really don't want to do that more than 2 or 3 days. You can also do a water-only fast. Like, I will not eat any food, and the only thing I will consume is water. Those are great. Then there's also liquid-only fast. Like, okay, if I'm doing 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I'm going to need some orange juice or some chocolate milk in my life, okay? So I'm just going to do liquid only. And we know that fasting deals with food because in Numbers chapter 30, verse 13, it refers to fasting as afflicting the soul. And nothing really afflicts our soul as much as not eating food. We really love food, right? And actually, there's a word that we use called breakfast, and that's where this comes from. You're breaking your fast. Because usually there's about a 12-hour gap between the last meal you eat and you go to sleep and the first meal you eat. So usually about a 12-hour break. And that's why we call it breakfast, because we're breaking our fast. Jesus gives us specific instructions on how we are to act. You can see that in Matthew chapter 6. But there's a thing that really annoys me. When I was in Gainesville, I had a roommate, and he was like, whenever he'd be fasting, I'd have my sandwich and I'm eating there, and he would overreact to my food. Oh my goodness, bro, how can you tempt me with this? Please do not overreact when you see food. Please do not refuse to cook or be around food. Jesus says, pour oil on your head so that no one knows you are fasting. Keep it private. Keep it secret. Because when God sees what's done in secret, he will reward you. I have a disclaimer, though. All right, I know we're zealous and we're ready to obey God and we're fired up. But please do not go and do a 40-day fast, okay? We need to seek advice. You need to talk to a doctor when undergoing a long period fast. There are people who have died from this. There are people who have serious lasting ailments from fasting too long without getting advice. So let's talk to a doctor. I recommend if you haven't ever fasted before, start with 24 hours. Like, okay, it's 11:40 right now. I'm not going to eat until tomorrow at 11:40. Start out with that and then move from there. And I know that some of us are not physically able to fast. And that is okay. Do not get guilted out. Don't just, oh man, me, why? I'm talking to those who are able and don't do it. We must make this a part of our walk with God. We're going to look at some examples now. Go ahead and turn to chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to see some rewards of fasting and the benefits of it. In Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 36, it says, "There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, one of the tribes of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them," talking about Jesus and his parents, "at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." You know, this woman was greatly rewarded. Because of how close she was to God, God said, "You know what? I'm going to take a special note of this woman. I'm going to put her in my Bible." Would God make a special note of you by the life that you are living, by how close you are to Him? This woman never left the temple. She was always praising God and praying and fasting. And God rewarded her. She most likely got to hold the Creator of the universe in her arms. She got to sing and praise the people around to say, "This is the Creator of the universe. This is the Redeemer of Jerusalem." God allowed this woman to do that. What an incredible gift. Fasting has great rewards. And this is a part that Jesus expects us to do. When he's teaching it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, he starts out and he says, "When you fast." He doesn't say if or if you would like to, it might be a good idea. He says when you fast. Jesus expects this to be a discipline in our lives. And fasting has great effect. So much so that the world has even picked up on it. The world is like, man, if you don't eat, people do what you want them to do. One of the most famous hunger strikes is the 1981 Irish hunger strike. If you just Google 1981, the thing that's going to come up suggested search is the Irish hunger strike. It's that famous. It lasted several months of these prisoners only drinking water. And it ended after 10 men starved themselves to death. That's how strong they were on their resolve. The longest to last was 73 days. Of no food, just water. By not eating, these prisoners got what they wanted from the government. And if not eating moves men who are evil, how much more our holy and righteous God? How much more will He do things? Will He move mountains? We sang about that in Spanish. He will move mountains. And the reason for this is because we are exchanging our hunger for food for hunger for God. Amen. And Jesus says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. That is a promise. And if we hunger for God more than we hunger for food, He will fill us up. Amen. We see this. Turn to Jonah. Jonah is a small book. May be difficult to find. But we're going to see an incredible response and how powerful fasting is. If you have not read Jonah, I encourage you to read it. It's a short book and it has great power. We're going to start here in verse 1 of chapter 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." Now we're going to skip over to chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day Jonah started into the city, he proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." When God saw what they had did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. What a powerful story. This is incredible. You know, Jonah is sent to preach to the city that in 40 days it's going to be overturned. That is the message that God gave Jonah to preach to a large and important city. You know, it would be something similar to a Miami today. Imagine going to Miami and you're like, 40 more days and you'll be overturned. And they react like this. Remember, Jonah is fired up to preach this lesson, okay? Jonah did not like Nineveh. He wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. So who is going there to preach and lay it out? And the message was given by Jonah, and look at their response. The king humbles himself. He takes off his robes. He sits down from his throne, and he takes out this decree, and we see it in verse 7. Do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. I mean, talk about conviction. Talk about radical. I mean, he's like, just in case the animals have sinned, they need a fast too. Make sure they're not eating grass or drinking water. I mean, wow, that is powerful. It's amazing. Because they saw their impending doom. And they had a response like Acts 2:38. They're like, brothers, what shall we do? Tell me, what shall we do? We need to have this heart. We need to have the heart that the Ninevites had. And these are sinful, evil men and women. They were known for their wickedness. And yet they had a response like this. Our response when we hear things, we need to be like, God, please do not crush me because of my sin. God, have mercy on me. I need your grace. I need you to change my heart. I need you to change my mind. In fact, I need this and I want this so bad that I will not eat and drink. Brothers and sisters, this is the heart that we need. We need this heart. Because without God, we will not change. Our hearts will be hard. We will make excuses. And we'll have temporary change. We do not need temporary change. We need to have this heart that, know what, God, I will do whatever it takes to change. I will go as long as I can without food until you change my heart. Do you see the power that fasting has and what it does to our hearts and how God responds? it shows God, God, you know what? I will do anything. I will do anything to be like you. I see my heart, I see my desires, and they don't align with yours. I need to change, and I can't do it on my own, so I will go without food. I am that desperate. Help me. This is what the Ninevites did, and we see God's response to this in verse 10. It says, when God saw what they did, talking about how they fasted and they forced the animals to fast, and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. You know, when I read this, it just makes me stand back and go, God, you are amazing. You are awesome, and you can do anything. A whole city repented. Amen. If that doesn't fire you up, man, I don't know what will. Imagine going to Miami and preaching, and the whole city repents. This is what happens here. When we fast and pray and are contrite, God forgives us. God gives us graciousness, gives us mercy. You know, Steve talked about our purity. How is your purity? Sure, when you were sitting there hearing the class, you were like, man, some of this is hard to change. How is your purity? How is your modesty? Where do you get your confidence from? Is it from God or the way men or women look at you? What is really going on in your heart that only God knows about? What is really going on? Are you going to get humble before your God through fasting and prayer? That's what it's going to take to change. Amen. This stuff is beyond us. If you're not praying and not fasting, I say that you're really not ready to change whatever it is. You are not desperate. You may have temporary change and go back to it. You may make excuses and have reasons. Well, it's okay, or I don't know if that's true, or I don't really agree with this. We must get desperate, church. Amen. Turn to Jonah, back a couple pages. I mean, Joel. What did I say, Jonah? Go to Joel chapter 2, sorry. Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Right before this, God says, hey man, the day of the Lord is coming, and it is dreadful. And in verse 12 it says, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garment. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chambers. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? This is what God is calling you and I to do. And this is what he has called them to do. To fast and to mourn and to weep. Amen. To fast and to turn back to God. It impacts me that fasting is a part of repentance. That fasting is a part of going after God with all your heart. Amen. And look at what he says here. He says, return to me with all your heart. With fasting and weeping and mourning. He says, rend your heart and return to the Lord. Rend means to tear, to split apart, to tear to pieces. He says, do that to your heart. The only way we can tear our hearts to pieces is by prayer and fasting. Fasting is a part of going after God with all your heart. And remember his promise, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. So the question is, are you really seeking God with all your heart if you have not fasted? I say no. Are you really ready to change if you have not fasted? I say no. I remember when I was younger, and I knew I did something bad, and I was about to get a spanking, and I knew it was coming. I would beg my dad, I would cry, I would make promises. I'm like, I'll never do it again. I would try whatever I could to not get a spanking. I'm sure you've been there. And God is telling them the spanking is coming. The spanking is coming. I'm about to come and deal with you. That is what he's telling you and I. I am about to deal with you if you do not change. How desperate are you? Are you like, okay, God, please don't. Please don't do it. And we know that our God is gracious. He is mercy. He even says this. It says he's full of compassion. But we cannot bank on that. We cannot rely on that. And what I mean by that is, well, God is gracious, you know. He's got me. I don't really need to change. You know, he'll forgive me. He understands. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my character. He'll be cool. We'll be all right. No, no, no. The Bible says it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This should scare us. When things are pointed out in your character and sin is revealed in your life, that should scare you. There's a reason it is revealed to you. It is so that you will change. It is not so that you will make excuses and be like, ah, everybody else struggles with that. It's okay. We must fast and pray for humility and repentance. Amen. Fasting works. Amen. After just a day of not eating, and you can't, your body isn't functioning as normal as it usually does. You're tired. You're sluggish. You're hungry all the time. It really humbles you out. It makes you realize how much you need God just to survive. Yep. It shows you how pitiful and how weak we are. It does wonders for your heart. Because the time that you would normally be eating or preparing food, you're praying. Yep. You're like, God, I need this. I need you to move in my life. I need you to change my heart. I need you to change my mind. Every time you're hungry, you're like, God, I am starving right now. It's been 7 days of no food. I'm weak. I'm tired. I get headaches. But Father, I want this more than I want food. I want my heart to change. I want to be right with you more than I want to be satisfied physically. It does wonders for you. It is very difficult not to be humble and to repent when you're spending the whole day praying. It is a very difficult thing when you're begging God all day to change you. So what about you and I? We are going to hear lesson after lesson. We're going to have pages and pages of notes. We will see the areas that we need to grow in. We will see the sin that is right in our face that we need to repent of. But will it last? Is this just going to be a season of purity, of proper parenting, of righteousness? Is this just a season? Will the things that you and I want to change ever come about? Will we get frustrated and quit? Will the dreams for your marriage, for your family, for your friends, or the things you want to see God do ever come about? Will they ever come to fruition? So the question is not if you will fast, it is when and how soon and how long. If we want to change, we need God. Amen. We are pitiful. We can't do it on our own. Just like it was beyond the 9 disciples, it is beyond us to change our hearts. We do not have the power, but we know the one who does. That's right. And so we can beg him. We can ask him to change our hearts and change our minds. And he will do it. Amen. So we must fast. I know that there are things in my character and your character that are going to be revealed if they have not already been. Fast to change. Amen. We do not want temporary change. We want repentance in our characters to be refined. The way to take being convicted to conviction is by prayer and fasting. To take conviction, to being convicted to conviction is by prayer and fasting. Do you hear me? We have to do it. This is not an option. This is not a question. We must do it. I have to do it. You have to do it. We must change. If we want to see God change our hearts and change our minds, we must fast. If we want to see the dreams that we have for God, we must fast. In closing, our God is amazing. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He has all the answers. He knows the way that we are to go. And if we are to get to heaven, we must ask Him and we must beg Him to show us and to help us. Look at the men who fasted for 40 days. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Think of all the value that fasting did for these men. Imagine if they never fasted. Imagine if Jesus never started His ministry with a 40-day fast. Imagine if when Moses was up on the mountain with God, while God is speaking to him, this is what you need to tell my people. Moses is like, one second, and he's eating. You can't picture that. Imagine all the value that they had. Imagine what their lives would have been without fasting. There will be death and hardship. We will need help from God to see our dreams come true, to see our prayers answered. We will need to grow, repent, and humble out. Amen. Let's make fasting a regular part of our relationship with God. Amen. Amen.
Amen. That was awesome. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8. Paul is talking about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits or civilian affairs, such as aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Late yesterday, George Zimmerman was found not guilty of killing Trayvon Martin. Now, this stirs lots of emotions in many of us. It's very controversial in the world. It divides people. The challenge for us is that we cannot get sucked into civilian affairs. We can't get sucked into the world and how the world thinks and the divisions that things like this cause in the world. We must remain united as disciples of Jesus and also sensitive to how other people are feeling who might not feel exactly the same way we do. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for being our God. We thank you for being a God who does not treat us like our sins deserve. Thank you for being compassionate. Thank you for being merciful. Thank you for forgiving all of our sins. Father, we understand that all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags before you. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for allowing your Son to die in our place. I pray that God daily will continue to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. Father, we especially pray also at this time for the parents and the family of Trayvon Martin. Father, I know in this country every day there's so many senseless deaths. I pray, God, you will comfort all the families. I pray, Father, that as Christians, we will see our responsibility that we live in a fallen world and that it's only through you, Father, that people can have salvation and find meaning in life. I pray, God, that it will cause us to want to talk about you, to want to talk about your Son, Jesus, because it's only through you, Father, that we can find peace. Father, we look forward to the day when we all get a chance to be with you and to stand before you. Father, you know that Father, we understand that all righteousness and all justice comes from you. And Father, we all know that one day we will stand before you and have to give an account for everything that we did in this life. Father, until then, I pray, God, that you keep us safe, you keep us holy, you keep us righteous, you keep us focused on you and on you alone. We love you, Father. Bless us this week. Give us a great week to the glory of your name. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.